original topic of what the definition of a bar that is going to be considered a bar to damage. So we came up with last week an interesting definition, like we said, anything moving is considered aish, anything stationary is considered a bar, but sometimes something that looks stationary can be considered halachically moving and considered aish. That was the chiddush we saw last week, where you put down the bar, the item, in the way of a ready moving item, and even though the item you put down was stationary, but since there's a moving item heading towards what you put down, that's considered you put down an aish, and you're going to be chayiv even on kalim, even though they're bar potter. This is not bar, this is aish. That was the chiddush we came out with last week. So let's delve further into the definition of bar. Maisa shahoya kach hoya. A painter is painting someone's house. And it's time for tea break. And he leaves his bucket of paint on the top rung of the ladder. Balancing there, just about balancing okay. Now he goes out for his lunch break, and the lunch break takes longer than he expects, and he doesn't come back well until the following morning.
Whoa. Big lunch.
He gets tied up in the way. The owners of the house are not there at the moment. And when he comes back, he sees what happens is that the bucket of paint had fallen from the ladder and smashed a very expensive chandelier. How did that happen? Well, as paint, if you leave open, what happens to paint when you leave open?
It dries up.
It starts to dry a bit. And because it starts to dry, the balance of the paint, which was balancing when he left it on the rang, very betochet, suddenly it was overweight took over, it was a drying process, and it fell and smashed the chandelier. So the question is he chayev to pay for this chandelier? What's the shayla? Let's just see Maramoka number one before you can give your own suggestions. Kedusha Rashba says like this: Yesh nafkamina bein eish lebo. There's nafkamina eish lebo. Sheim ba lo shach bein hezik nir ba vonim. There's two things that ba is potter on and eish is chayv. Ba is potter on kelim and is also potter on kaka. Eish would be chayiv. So the shayla over here is the damage that he did to the chandelier, which is a keli, and even if it would be considered kaka, because it's mechuba the kaka, is it bar? Then he's going to be potter. If it's eish, he's going to be chayiv. Is what he did by leaving this pot of paint considered a bar and therefore potter on the damage to the chandelier, whether it's because of keli or kaka, doesn't make a difference, it's going to be potter by bar, or is it considered an eish, so you're going to be chayiv?
Eish.
Would he be chayiv of being shomer?
Nope.
Why?
He's not a shomer on the house.
He is.
Never kabbal shmir on the house.
When you hire someone to paint, implicit in that is that he's not going to damage anything by painting it.
He's so not to show that on
the house. He has to put tape on various places, and he has to make sure
this is that he has to not mazik the house, correct? But he's not to show that on the house.
He's being mazik the house when he.
So you say mazik. So what mazik is he? Is he
shomer?
No, there's no such thing as a mazik of shomer. Shomer is that I set myself responsibilities which are not responsible, but I accept upon myself by doing kinyonim, if you've done hilchos shomer with what you do, and then you take, you now shomer, and then if it happens, you're going to have to pay because of the responsibilities he took on. Here he took no responsibilities on. He left his paint on the top rang of the ladder, went out, it just started to dry, the whole paint fell and it broke the chandelier. If it's bar, he's potter, because he came in and packed his potter. If it's ace, he's fine. It's leaving the paint, the buckets of paint, is that considered in such a fashion ace or bar? That's the shiloh in front of us.
He's going to take the drift and clock off and more of the settling over time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And since when is a bore move?
Yeah.
Is it a moving bore?
Yeah. So, everyone's saying it's Aish, because what's the classic case in the Gemara and Daf Vav is Aleph that we discussed today? Mm-hmm. You left the knife on top of the roof, that the wind blows it off, and it damages as it's flying through the air. That's called Aish and Daf Vav is Aleph. Here, the bucket is the knife. If it's falling off, that's going through the air, and it's flying, and it's damaging, it should be Asians. Let's see if everyone's right. Maybe everyone's right.
I doubt it.
Okay. Maran, welcome, number two. Kosher Mishpat Shim Shin Zion Sif Gimel. Reuven Socha Bais Mishim. Reuven rented a house from Shimon. The Nosan Shom Chita, and he put his bags of wheat in the house that he rented. Machmas Shomda Shoyomim Habe, and because it was there for many days, this Kalku Hakasolim, the walls got damaged, the Noflo, and it fell, the Hizika, and it damaged the Shimon and the Shchenov, it damaged the walls of Shimon and the Shchenim. They all collapsed, the walls collapsed underneath the weight of the bag of wheat. Imadnik of Yatua Kilkar Kasolim, if it's clear that you damaged these walls, his robo, the Sadika Khits of those Salkim, you gave him a warning, remove them, and he didn't remove them. Bashahi, he is negligent, the chayek, the shalem, call a hezek, and he has to pay the whole hezek. So here we see, he put down something in a stationary manner, and over time, it caused the walls to collapse. If it's clear he was negligent, he's going to be chayek to pay, so it can't be considered bar, because here's damage to karka and bars pots on karka. It must be that this scenario, leaving your heavy bag of wheat in that situation, which eventually moved and caused damage, that must be considered esh, and you have to pay. If it will be bar, you'll be pots, because on karka, you're pots if it's bar. If it's chayv on karka, must be because it's considered esh. So who are din in our case? Fits into the scenario of our buckets of paint, which we put there in a stationary manner, and then it moved afterwards, even without winds, but it moved afterwards. Here's also outwinds, it moved afterwards, and still your chayv must be considered that it put it damaged as it's moving. It's considered esh. That's why it should be potter.
If it would be esh, though, why would you need to warn him?
Why should you need to warn him? Okay. Very good question. I was ready for that question. I predicted that question as I was writing this year. Sometimes I don't predict questions, but this question. And I would like the other side of the table to give a suggestion why you need, in this case, a warning. Why, in this case of the Shulchan Aruch, you need a warning. Maybe you can answer your own question. No, yes.
It was on Kedai. He was conditioned to bring it there. The problem was that he left it there for too long a period of time. And therefore he had to be warned that it's too long a period of time, otherwise he had the right to leave it there.
It wasn't a clear scenario that what he was doing was a negligence involved. He rented the place for storage. He put down his place, heavy sacks of grain over there, which in certain buildings, as Dan would know, is that is built properly that it will be able to contain a lot of weight, and some buildings are not so strong that be able to contain that weight. Here, therefore, in order for him to be negligent, the person has to be warned and say, hey, these bags are too heavy for the structure. You have to get Dan come in and say, hey, you shouldn't be putting such heavy weights in this area. It's not able to support it. And therefore remove it. And if he doesn't, then he's considered negligent. And now he's negligent. Now you can be fined for any damage that causes. But if he was not told, I thought I rented, I didn't realize, I did something normal, I thought this building would be able to contain this type of weight, and therefore I'm not negligent by not removing it, so no one warned me in this situation. Therefore, if that's the shot, when in our case, do you need the warning? When you leave the buckets of paint on the top rang of the ladder in a very situation where it's very already very betuchet sitting in that position because of the balancing act, is he negligent be'etzem by doing that, or does he need a warning? You know, you're doing something a bit dangerous over here.
Negligent.
So here in our case you wouldn't need a warning. Over there you would need a warning just to make him negligent. Yeah.
Well, I don't understand. Okay, he now rented it.
Yes.
Did it out ask to put the feet there?
Yes. Yeah, no one told the owner.
Then he has every right to.
No, but no one said it's 5 tons, 10 tons, 20 tons.
So the landlord have to give him back the money because he rented it out as to put feet there, which is a normal function.
Yes.
And he's saying no, you can't do a normal function. So he should be entitled back for his rent.
He said you could maybe spread it around, maybe not in one bigger bag in that particular position in a different place over there. Whether you get your money back will depend whether it's shy in that case. So you'll have your week but in a different way. Yeah. So at this moment I'm saying congratulations to everybody, you got it right. And you got it's Chayv Meshamesh, and therefore you're Chayv to pay. Yes?
We moved, or was the case that it was leaning the whole time and just after a period of time he was going to cause damage? Did something change in the week?
I think
or it was in a process of causing damage the whole time and just hit a critical mass after a period of time?
Yeah, but it's a critical mass in that case after a period of time it moved.
No, it was not causing any damage as long as it was sitting in the ladder.
Yes.
There was a moment that happened and it fell off.
Here, if you look carefully, the Tshuvas HaRosh, it's clear that he's getting charged for the damage, not only to the hole which is created by the weight over there, but also the damage which is now done to the neighbor's apartment down below, where it wasn't leaning on and wasn't damaging, it was just flying through the air.
The process of damage began perhaps from the beginning. And what's the difference? Because it's like Aish. We want to say that the first one is Aish.
Yes.
And therefore there's a Kach Ach Muruba, which is what? The drying process. It's a drying process that dried up the paint, and that tipped it. It wasn't for the drying process. It was a very wet outside, whatever, or cold, then it wouldn't have tipped over. It would have sat there overnight also.
But there was a drying process
that it moved. I mean, it was sitting there.
What made it move? What moved it? What moved it?
You leaving the cover off
is what causes it to move. Okay, so therefore it moves itself.
You put it in a place, alive, in a situation where the air is like a wind.
Yeah,
the air causes
it. The wind moves it. Here it didn't move it. Here the wind did not move it. The air just changed it so it was able to move itself. Different from the wind. That's why I had to shine it. Is it bar? Is it Aish? Because the classic case of Aish is you've got another Koach moving it. Here we've got another Koach changing it, and therefore it moves itself.
By the Chita, I would say there's no Koach, there's nothing external, either in it or external to it. It was causing damage, a little bit of damage, but it takes.
So therefore, very good. What I would say, Kol Shekhen. If already in the weeds, where there's no external force at all, you're still going to call it H. It's still going to be H and be high for the neighbor's damage, not the damage of it.
Because when he put it down, he's an Adam Amazik. He put something heavy against the wall to create damage from moment zero.
Okay, you're saying, well, no, you're not necessarily have a rival. Okay, we'll see whether you're correct in a second. Okay, we'll see. One way it's worse, one way it's better. Wait, there's another code. Okay, there's another code.
I want to see it's an Adam Amazik.
Let's move to our second case. Our second case. If everybody, does everybody remember last year we had a big snowfall in Yerushalayim? Yes. Now the snow came down and it stayed down for quite a few days. The area were going around and they weren't much removing the snow, but they were telling people where to remove the snow. So they saw that a particular tree in somebody's garden, private chotzer, was covered and covered in snow, and they gave a warning to him and says, you have to take off the snow because this tree is in danger of falling. Reuven, who owns the tree, ignored.
It's a Mishnah.
What?
It's a Mishnah.
He ignored the warning. The tree fell down and fell into somebody's car and smashed somebody's car. Shiloh came to Mason. Is he chayev to pay for the damage he did to the car? Okay. So, based on what we said up to now, what should you say? Is it Eish or Bar? If it's Bar, Potiphar Kalim, car's king. If it's Eish, it's chayev for king.
He didn't do a mice at all. He's just sitting in his house. He's Sheva Altasa. He didn't do what
he owns to. The tree.
He owns it.
He owns the tree. He was given a warning to remove the tree.
Yes.
Okay, so therefore now it's his tree.
But he didn't put the
snow
on it.
Warning to remove.
He didn't put the snow on
no.
it. Why did he even plant it?
No, but he owns the tree.
Yes.
Yes. So is it bar or is it H?
Why would ownership in and of itself make a rival?
Didn't we learn that you own a bucket, that then you're responsible for it when it causes damage?
That was
you own somebody's, in the case, you own the football and you give it to your child and it damages.
Well, they aren't giving it to
right,
my child.
And there's someone's doing a mice with it. There's still someone doing a mice.
But the bucket is.
You own the bucket, you own the child. Then what you own. Okay. So what do you say? Well, hey, up to now. What do you think, according to the Kalim? How did it damage? Stationary or moving? What did it do? Damage that was moving. Yeah, so okay. So let's see. The Gemara Baba covered the problem of base. Brought down the talk of Shemishdot Sim Top Design has this case. Hakosol Ve'ilon Shahoy Ru'uin. A wall or a tree which deteriorated and was bad, wasn't now sound. And they gave a warning to the owner of the tree in the wall to remove it. And it fell after the warning, the time period they gave. And it damaged. Whether it damaged as it's moving, or whether it damaged after it already landed. Yesh lohem din bo. That tree, even if it's damaging as it's falling, has a din of a bo. Bein shehipke balim bein shehipke. Whether the balim decided, I'm not going to be a short one, I'm just going to be muff for it or not. It's too late. He can't be muff for it. He has to remove it. He doesn't remove it and it damages as it's moving. It's got a din bo. But if he didn't give a warning, or he gave a warning, but they said you got 5 days and it fell in 2 days, then he's not going to be responsible. To be negligent is he gave a warning, got 5 days to remove it, and he don't remove it in that time, and then it falls, then you're chayv for damage, not mishum eish, but mishum bo. Even if it's damaging as it's moving.
But only to animals and people.
Pardon?
Only to animals and people.
That fool. You go, if it's a bar, that the reason why your chayiv is because it's a bar, even although it's moving, it's a bar. Then you're going to potter on kelim and karka. Therefore, an arkis of the tree, which the Iriad said you've got to, within 24 hours to remove it, and he doesn't remove it within 24 hours, and he's negligent and leaves it there and lets it fall, then it's got a din of bar, but it's going to be potter because it's kelim. Okay, now we're going to ask you a question. If that is the result, what's the difference now? And what's the reasoning before we get the difference? What's the reasoning why is it a bar? It goes against all the principles of bar that we learned up to now. We learned the difference between bar and H is simple. Bar is stationary when it's damaging, and H is, if it's moving, it's called ish. If it's stationary, it's called bar. That's what we learned up to now. And we said even sometimes when it's stationary, it's because it likes moving like nothing. Here we got a case saying the opposite. That here, even though it's moving and damaging as it's moving, it's still considered bar. How could that be according to our principles?
The worrying turns it into a dangerous situation. That it's a bore. The knowledge is out there that this is a bore after 24 hours. That creates it.
So it's a bore. So why is it not an H? Start the principle. When did it damage? As it's moving, it's damaging. So how does that fit in the category of bar? Yes, the warning means he's negligent, means he's responsible for anything that happens. But now if he's responsible, it should be his ish that's damaging. Why do we call it a bar? It's moving.
It's fallen already. If it's fallen already, anything that falls into it is
why? What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean. I know what you're saying, but I don't understand what you mean.
We view it as being damaged. We view the damage as being there, front and center.
Why?
As a leniency, we're going to say even though it's moving, it's considered stationary. That's a big to make him not tired. What's the saw behind such a thing?
A bore is normally connected to the ground. A bore could be a rock on the ground, but Kol Shekinah, it's connected to the ground.
Yeah, but if it's moving, but it's damaging, it's
an
ash.
That's the yisod. The yisod is, ash has to be disconnected from the ground, otherwise automatically bore. Moving enough.
Actually, the pasuk is an example.
It is.
Yes, it's connected to the ground.
Which example?
The chazan of Bagladesh, you can catch its fire on the thorns.
Except a bush on fire is so ash, and it moves and spreads. And here it's actually detached because it's actually broken and it's as it's falling.
So it's a composite. It's a bore mitgalgel. It's got a bit of everything.
Bore mitgalgel means it gets kicked and it gets moved to another place. Now it's stationary and then it causes damage. And when it's stationary, but not when it's flying through the air, that's called ash. You kick a stone and it smashes a window, it's called ash.
I think it kills because he didn't start it. Ash has to be he started it. Has to be he started the ash. The ash originated here in the Shemayim from the snow. It can only be a bore.
Yeah, but there's no Kori Bor. You have a Kori Bor.
What? No, that's the problem with Chazanish.
No, we learned that if it's your bed on the roof, even though you didn't put it there, but you see it, and know it's there, even though you didn't start it, so to speak, you didn't put it there, you are now the owner of the Aish, your father's in Aish. Yes. So you don't have to start it, you just have to be negligent in knowing it's there, that could be fine. Okay? Okay, so I've got you on all fronts. So, Baruch Hashem is a nachlas dovid which comes to the rescue into a yisod, a fundamental yisod in the difference between bar and ash, used a lot in Dinei Torah in order to fit in what category it is. So, nachlas dovid will bother this question. It's moving. What? It should be ash. Why is it bar? So not the stuff it says like this. Venera, the beginning, the middle of the first line. Venera to lo kashamiti. It's not kashamiti. The kol ika achilik shebein bar le'esh. The whole difference between a bar and an esh, who's an esh, holeth the mazik. And a fire is moving, and it's moving and damaging. Umasik esanizik. It goes and searches out an item to damage. It goes and finds an item to damage. That's what an esh does. It's moving to go and find an item to damage. Before Bokum Shuhu, wherever it is, if it's a mile away, 2 miles away, you'll get there. Ubahu lehep. A bar is the opposite. Shahamazik omid amavotu. The bar is standing in a permanent place. Fahanizik cholech emov. And the one getting damaged, it goes to it. The ghost gets itself damaged in the bar. It's in the bar stationary, and you go to the bar. Says that's the whole killing, like you understood up to now. Okay, so how's it going to help us? When is it a fire? That's only when it's being transported by a wind. Why? The anger will, because there's no boundaries to where it can spread. Depends how strong the wind will. If it's very strong, it'll go very far. If it's not so strong, it'll go short. But it depends on the wind. It could, in theory, go to any place, depending on the wind, to actually cause damage. That's what an ace is. Avol kosul ve'ilon. But a wall and a tree. Yesh gavul ve'ilon. There is a gavul, there's a boundary as to how far it can fall. More than its natural parameters, it can't go. And therefore, in order for something to get damaged, it has to be within those boundaries. In order to get damaged. In came bar mamishu. Therefore, that's why a tree is a bar. Now, because everybody, think for a second, understand the chilik he's saying.
I understand the chilik, but I don't see
people
the logic behind it.
People who know physics will be able to understand it quicker than those who don't. So I expect Eric and all these people to understand this much quicker.
What?
What about a bomb?
A bomb.
Before you ask questions, let's explain it to them.
It's a bomb is ash.
How can it be ash? It's limited.
That's what it is. It's an ash.
But it's limited. It puts
it
definition.
It's not limited. It can keep going. If it catches fire to something. A bomb is ash, literally speaking. You don't get more ash than that. Whatever ash, whatever a bomb is, it's ash.
Before you ask questions.
Put out the bottom brick on that. And a skyscraper, and the whole skyscraper falls down.
I agree with you. Right?
Is that boring?
So, what is the chiluk which the Nachlis Dovid is saying, which helps us out here to say, oh, now, bar, yeah, bar is mummish, the Elon is mummish bar, the tree is mummish bar, now, according to what I said. That's Nachlis Dovid's last words. What has he said? Before you ask questions, yeah. Let's try and understand. What did he say?
He's saying that a boar has limited radius that it can be mazik, whereas an ash doesn't.
Yes.
But it's not true. An ash also has limited radius. If there's no fuel, it can't go beyond that place. If there's an empty field with dirt, doesn't matter how strong the wind is, the fire's not going to spread.
Oh, not true. Have you ever been to Australia?
No.
Okay, so bushfires over there, by definition, are, even if it's completely empty, the wind can make it jump miles.
Yes, but there's a limit how much it can jump.
Miles.
But there's still a limit. There's still a limit. There is still a limit.
The framework of a person is unlimited. Well, nothing's unlimited completely. Within the framework of a person, it's unlimited. A bushfire is unlimited.
Because I mean, yeah, the way they prevent bushfires is they clear enough space that it can't.
Within the framework of an individual, it's unlimited.
I don't see why you draw
nature.
A distinction between
this different nature happens. To something falling off a something falling down.
Okay. And when you put it together, how tall
on
the tree
other
is?
Hand, on the other hand, knife falling off a door is certainly limited, very limited.
Why is it falling off? Why is it falling off? What's making it fall off? A wind.
So a wind, if it's very strong, a hurricane can throw it very far.
And a very tall building could fall very far.
Tall tree. Let me ask you a question. A very tall tree. How far can a very tall tree?
As tall as a tree.
As tall as a tree. It can't do more than a tree.
It tower above
it. More than a tree. It can't do more than a tree.
Have you ever been to Yosemite? They have three big trees there.
Again, but it's limited to how tall it is.
We're talking about miles.
Again, it's limited to that mile.
It isn't.
Without any other force getting involved.
What do you mean any other force? How did it fall?
How does a tree fall?
It has a force of gravity.
Gravity. I was waiting for that much. How long did it take?
So if the tree is on the city,
Rochem,
at the top of the
you
mountain,
said the right words.
You can fall for miles.
So, you said the right words. The Achronim understand from the Snachlis Kofitz that he's saying, age by definition means you have to have another force involved in order to be considered ace. You got the item and you got the koch after, now something else, pushing it, and the combination there's damage. Now, depending how that other force is, how far it travels, fine. But gravity, the Nachlis Dovid is saying, is gravity is not called another force. It's called itself. It has no korach achmavu. It's in itself intrinsically doing the whole action. It itself is moving itself, and therefore, in order to be ace, you have to have another korach. If you don't have another korach, even if it's moving, but it's moving itself, and that's what gravity is. The way that Nachlis Dovid is learning it, therefore it has its felt in the definition of Aish, and it's still in the category of Bar. What he basically is saying is that there's no such thing in Bar that it can't be Bar if it's moving. What there is that in order to get to the level of Aish, it has to be, there's another Koach that's moving it, not that it's moving itself. As soon as there's no other Koach, but it's moving itself, it's still in its original category of Bar.
The definition of the Koach, it's not moving itself.
And therefore, gravity is saying...
No. It's the gravity of the snow, not the gravity of the tree.
It's the snow that fell on it.
The snow, what made it move?
The snow? Kadosh Baruch
Hu. No, what made it move to that tree?
The wind.
Many forces.
Not the wind.
Why not the wind?
Not the wind.
Why not the wind?
No, the wind didn't make it.
You've never been to New York, apparently.
That's it, over here. It wasn't the wind. It was. What was over here?
Gravity.
The snow was falling down.
No, what did the snow do?
It made it heavy. It added weight.
Heavy for the roots, so therefore the roots could no longer hold it, and therefore let go of the bark. Now, why is it moving?
Because of this combination.
The snow's not pushing it.
It's a combination of the snow and the
pushing it.
Yes, you did. Snow
gravity that's pushing it.
If the snow wasn't there, it wouldn't fall. And if this,
so that's why I said over here, this is a case where another force doesn't move it, but makes it able to move itself.
No, it's not moving itself. It needs the gravity of the snow in combination with the
gravity. It's also the gravity.
What?
In the case of Avos Kino Masa, it's also the gravity.
So the Nachlis Dovid and the Boskin say that's only Yuchayev if it's eight, if there's a wind, if there's no wind.
And the wind just pushes it off.
Just overbalances.
And then the gravity comes in.
It overbalances without a wind, then there's not Chayev. You're not Chayev in such a case. If it just goes straight down, not Chayev.
I think there is a clear distinction here. The Nachlis Dovid is not referring to where something else is added on to it. In fact, the Gemara isn't even talking about where something else is added. So the Gemara is saying the tree
over the
itself
edge.
Is weak.
And then it just falls. If the wind pushes it off the edge,
yes,
and then it falls, That's Bor or Esh?
Esh, because the wind's already pushed it.
Started. There's no more Esh. There's no more side.
Already started. There's already a movement of Esh, which you need to call the wind in order to start to start moving it. And now the rest of it doesn't matter. We already have another car.
That other car has finished its kayak.
So the wind is
stuck. It's just gravity pulling it down.
Fine, but once you have a wind that got involved, it's already into the category of H. That's what we need.
Yeah. So there was wind involved. The wind was making the tree sway back and forth.
No, that's not the reason why it fell.
To me, that's like,
wow.
So
it certainly was a contributing factor.
No, it's a contributing factor why the roots gave way.
Yes. Not the roots. The whole tree fell over, or the branch broke off?
The whole tree.
The whole tree fell over.
Yes.
The whole tree fell over.
The whole tree fell over. Not the branch. The whole tree.
The whole tree fell over.
So therefore, based on this, that we say gravity is not another force, and therefore it remains a bar, and it can be higher.
Wait a minute. The Iria, bar. The Iria came around, and according to the Iria, if he had removed the snow, it would not be a danger anymore.
Correct.
So that means the snow is contributing to it.
I tell you, I'm agreeing with you. The snow is making it that the roots are not able to keep control of its connection to the ground. Correct. But what actually now, the connection is disconnected. Now it's disconnected. It's standing up without a disconnection. Now it moves.
But it only
what
moves
makes
because
that move?
Of the snow.
What makes that
the
move?
The snow!
It started the same thing like I said. It started with the cloud.
No, because there the wind pushes it out. It actually moves it.
As far as I'm concerned, it's like the knife where the wind is propelling it down. It doesn't stop.
Okay. So based on that, you say. Based on that, you say. In both our cases, you want to argue on the tree case. You can. You can argue on the tree cases. I'm going to stop you. But both our cases, we have the buckets moving because of gravity starting to dry up. Gravity now made it fall down. So even though it's damaging as it's flying, but it's got no other co-op besides its own gravity that's pushing it, so therefore it's damaging with its own co-op, not other force, and therefore it's a bar smashing Kalin called the chandelier, and therefore it's going to be Potter, and who's in with the tree? What to say of it, it's the own gravity pull on the weight of the tree, nothing to do with the snow that actually made it fall on top of the car. That was also a bar which is moving but still called a bar because it has no other force which is moving it, and there was also going to be a pulsar on the car at this stage where we're holding at the moment according to the Chiddush of Dagas David that movement through because of gravity is still called bar, not H. H is only when there's another force.
But in the case of the something out of an airplane, is that the bar?
That is called Kitsov, that he threw it himself.
I didn't throw it.
Yeah.
I didn't throw it. The lever is timed to open a certain time. And
I'm holding it. That means my release is considered my action. It's called cooperation. We'll be going to be discussing that in 2 weeks' time.
By the case of the pain, according to the Chazanish, would it even be Bor?
Why?
Because it's not on the ground. It has to be something that's been called the earth. Didn't the Chazanish say to be bored has to be something that's been called the earth?
Well, you have to be something. If it's a. Everyone agrees, you put a stone down, even though you haven't changed the ground, it's considered a block. That's right.
There has to be something in the ground.
No, if you're just using the ground to damage, then you have to change the ground. Not if you have your own moment.
If you get a Hasra, doesn't that make you a Poshea?
It makes you negligent, yes. But not every negligence is fine. Negligence that you're now a bar, and a bar has its rules.
A bar is inherently
negligent. You can devise damage to other people without being kind.
What's that?
You can devise damage to other people without being kind.
If you actually devise them, we'll call Simon Dalit and Shulchan Aruch, we see people devising the Torah to damage, not get paid. Then we have the co-op to make gezeiras and to condes against that person and to punish him shalom in hadin in such a case.
Oh, but it's the shalom in hadin.
Shalom in hadin. We have the co-op to punish him shalom in hadin.
So midin Torah, even if he devises the damage, he wouldn't be hired.
But the Torah, no, but the same Torah says that the...
No, I understand you have a Korach, but absolutely...
Why? It's not a Durabon Korach, it's a Torah Korach.
What do you mean?
The Torah Korach is given to Chazal, to Rabbonim, to that, to punish somebody not according to the natural Gedorim of the
that's Torah. That's how the Torah is like that. That's what Hezek.
Yeah, but it's given to us.
Based on Osh Shalom and Adin, is
Osh Shalom and Adin according to the Gedorim.
So why can't you
but
use it for
Gedorim? But then we got the special car.
So why can't you use it for Gedorim?
No, because the Gedorim is only when, as you're saying, we see somebody planning to damage.
The answer is no.
When we'll get to Shaitels, we'll talk about this.
When we get to what?
Shaitels. Now, there's a whole ditto about Shaitels that involved in that.
Interesting one.
Yeah. Now, the question. Okay, so we answered our first question. How can a moving thing be a bar? So we said, because it's moving itself. Gravity is called the moving itself. So now my next question is, okay, but how does that now fit with the Shulchan Aruch which you learned in Shinzan? You put down your bag of wheat on the ground in the apartment, and it's stationary, and then it starts to move because it gives weight. Under the weight, and it damages the downstairs neighbors. And we said you're chayiv for the downstairs neighbors. Why are you chayiv? It's gravity as well. It's also gravity.
Well, he doesn't.
It should be a bar. A bar spotter on kaka.
He doesn't say the damage is because of the weight. It sounds like it's.
He
more
puts
like
it down. It's too heavy, and it gives way, and then it damages everyone underneath.
That's what it's talking
That's
about.
Why does it damage everybody? Because of the gravity. So gravity, a moving item through gravity is bar spotter on kaka. So why are you five over there?
The Shulchan Aruch is talking about where the problem is caused by the weight of the.
Yes. Mark. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rosh. That's new. What's the shot over there? How can the Nachas Dov be correct that gravity is its own intrinsic force and it still remains a bar? We see clearly over there it's damaging through its own gravity and it's high on Taka. If it's bar, it can't be high.
Because the damage started as soon as he put it down.
Very good. Says the Shach in Shin Zayin Siv Gimel. Shmuel said the same thing in the beginning. He says, you got it wrong, it's not Eish, it's not Bo. This is even worse than just negligence of a Bo or Eish. Zigirat Zilehu, it's his own force. Babika Mazik Mitaim, he is Mazik Mitaim.
He himself. When he was Mazik, he had every right to be Mazik.
He said that
he rented it out to us to put wheat there and it was okay.
Yeah, but you put the wrong wheat over there.
It wasn't the
wrong heavy.
If it was the wrong wheat, why did he have to be warned? We go back to the original.
No, he had to be told that he was too
why?
Hard.
He was Mazik Mitaim.
He either had a right to do it or he didn't.
Or after the
so what do we see? He puts it there thinking it's okay. But really, as soon as he put it there, it started to damage because it was too heavy. Immediate damage. And then we warned him and said, you know, let it go away because it's already creating problems and eventually will create irreparable damage over here. So remove it. And he doesn't. So the fact he doesn't, he's now negligent on his original action of putting it there, which means is that he was a mazik the time as soon as he put it there.
So then you go back to the original question, why does it need to be warned?
In order to make it speak and make him negligent.
After the fact?
Yes.
So I wasn't negligent when I put it there.
No, but it's
I was only negligent after you warned me.
Correct.
So when I put it there, it wasn't giri delay because I wasn't.
No, it was giri delay, but you had the giri delay of a tool called an onus. And now you've got rid of the onus.
No, why onus? Why not shogging?
It wasn't not your action, it was your action with a tool because you're onus. But now you've been warned, you're not an onus.
Well, why was we shogging? Is this another mazik chayev on shogging?
Not onus.
This was considered onus?
At this stage, until the warning, you're considered onus. As Nazis keeps putting it back, you rented the place for it. That's what you thought. No one told you.
So then isn't it the same with the tree? If I warn you about the tree.
Yeah.
No.
Why is it different from the tree?
Put the tree
no action, no mice will be there.
You didn't put the tree there.
Didn't put the tree. And what happened to the tree? And even if you did plant the tree, when you planted the tree, did it start to already the omer to fall on the car at that stage? When you planted it as a sapling? No, it was a very good tree, perfectly okay in that particular time. It's only because of circumstances it became dangerous. When it came dangerous because of circumstances, I was nothing to do with it at that time. I needed the warning, and the warning can only make me, not a mazik mitzvah, can only make me a boss at that stage. Okay, so therefore at this stage, we're holding that you're potter on everything, because even though it's a bar, and even though it's moving, but it's moving because of its own gravity, the case of the chitzim, why there? Because there, look, you were damaging from day one. As you put it down, you were damaging. Just realize, now I told you, and now you have to make sure that you don't, that the original damage didn't create problems. Okay, so now I'm just going to leave you with a shiloh which you can think about till next week, because we're running out of time. We haven't given the final answer on anything yet. So on Shabbos tables, I'm afraid you can just tell them. Yeah.
Here's the don't just leave your paint on the platform.
Here's the next case. Here's the next case. And you see if it's the same as the other two, different or live in a public building. Yes, we all live in a public building, most of us. I think all of us live in shared buildings. And I have Reuven had a pipe that goes in through his bathroom, goes down into the building, goes into past somebody's mahzan, and then finally ends up into the street. Okay. So he's using it as he normally uses it, but then he sees that things are not going through smoothly and there seems to be some sort of blockage. He calls in a plumber. The plumber makes investigations, works it out, and he says, you know what, there is a blockage there, and you should realize that the pipe is under extreme pressure. Do not use it anymore. And not only that, you just can't leave it as it is. It has to be solved the problem soon, because the pressure that it's currently under, it will mean it will burst very soon. Of course, Reuven said, okay, I'll think about it.
What kind of pipe is this? Drainage pipe.
From his shiratim. Yeah. And he didn't deal with it, as after the warning of the plumber says, you know, within 24 hours you have to deal with this thing. And he leaves it a few days. He didn't use it. Under instructions, he didn't use it. He left it for a few days. And in that time, over Shabbos, it burst. And it went all over the person's mahzan, not his, Shimon's mahzan.
You mean there was stuff in the pipe already?
Yes. And it ruins all the stuff in the mahzan, all the sewage was there. It ruined all the stuff, all the electrical equipment over there. Thousands and thousands worth of shekels of damage. The insurance doesn't cover such a thing.
No?
The insurance didn't cover such a thing. And now there's a claim against Reuven that he has to pay for the damage that it was done to the mahzan. Okay. Now, think about it. Is it something to do with the case we're talking about? Connected is going to have the same halakhas that it is. We'll see you next week. Reuven! It's his own pipe. No one else uses it.
I can't leave people at the Shabbat table and say, stay tuned till next week.
We'll come back this way.
They do that on television shows. Halacha.
No, if
the last week we learned that
if I have a car,
it can be stationary under circumstances, and this week we're learning it shows that a bar can be a bar even though it's moving.
I would hope they are, but how long do these sometimes why they would be if they weren't negative? It would be an onus. You're not tired just by virtue of it's your property. And how often does it look like it? No, if my car is in the driveway and it explodes because of a freak accident, I'm not tired.
Can I ask
okay. There's a difference between a car explosion, freak accident, and pipe burst all the time.
Oh, oh, so then if you're talking about Sia, that's another kind of
story. Pipe burst all the time, sir. If you want to, it's like, you know what you're supposed to do with your electricity? Yeah. Every 6 months you're supposed to get in and have a full check on everything. With equipment and everything else. You're supposed to, did you test your cesarean this month? Just take it to check it this month. Oh, nobody does it.
The fact that nobody does it doesn't bother me.
Right.
What would bother me is what is
so
the, what is the incidence of actually having a problem?
By age.
So that was actually last week's time. So at least the way Rashi presents it, he actually has to start the fire. The fire started by itself.
He said he didn't use it. But he's been using it. He's been lighting the fire every single day.
Oh, so
he's been lighting the fire forever,
okay,
every single day.
Okay, so
you know, if you use a pipe, you use the fire every day.
But just by virtue of the fact that it's his property, then I want to trigger.
It's his property, and it's nothing to do with it. Somebody else did it. I don't know.
Right.
But here is something.
But that's not true. In civil law, it wouldn't work like that. If my car, somebody goes and pulls the new spray, and my car smashes into somebody,
somebody
will be liable.
Somebody does what?
The lease is the lease spray.
No, they must be liable.
What?
They must
be liable. They would be liable too, but let's say he's still liable. No?
You'd be liable on the easy way out because that's the way insurance works.
Okay.
But if everybody went to the extent of everybody suing everybody else, and the guy who didn't release it would be the one who ended up having to pay. You might have to go to the high court until you got the judgment. But if it was because the car moved, because the brake was strong enough, you did.
That's your responsibility to maintain it.
Right. Okay, that I agree. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
You call the law?
Take it, you get lucky.
Huh? He's six years.
Tell you. That is a big dilemma every time.
That's definitely true.
Take the wild. I'm here 10 years from what you require.
I'm required.
Okay, get the fuck.
You can cancel the shirt today. Matt. We're in here, I'm like,
that's still 2016. Oh, January 2016. But this is February.
They would like to repeat. Could you, does your thing record? They like to listen.
He's the CEO of a high tech B2B company. He can record it if he wants.
I don't know how to send it though. He's enjoying the stock.
You can have his tech guy record it for like a 20 second.
Where's Bite Law?
Oh,
Dr. Stern.
You know what's sad? Stern's gonna be
we're not canceling for him, we're canceling for us. All right, here we go.
Why don't you take a couple minutes and give Stern a chance to settle down?
Settle.
When's Joshy and Gary coming?
Gary's—they're all here. Everyone's here?
Yeah, Josh is in Yerushalayim. He'll be here for Shabbos. Gary's here.
Where's he staying?
He is staying by my parents.
Okay.
Is this yours?
No, we need a recorder.
We need a recorder. Not good. Mishpat, you want to report on the question? No.
Really, Rabbi Meir, of course, holds
ain't no Mesa Mishalek. It's only local Mishalek that he holds. Ah, what about this Raisa that says explicitly that a mayor holds by Gana Batala Mishavitz can be Chayiv Dalle, eh? It's talking about where you Kaveach Al Yedei Acher, where the Gana gives it to someone else to be Kaveach, and he was Kaveach for himself. That's where the Chayiv Dalle, eh? Then the Gemara goes on. Okay, which, and that's the second part of the shiur. The more that goes on, is when do we say Yesh Shiach Baravera? Yesh Shiach Baravera. We hold Ein Shiach Baravera. Says, how could that be? Are you going to tell me Zech Hote B'Zem Eschayim? The other guy, the non, not the guy, the guy who we give it to be Kaveya, he is going to be Kote, and the guy is going to be $5 a day. It's the other guy who will be second. The Gemara says, no, because the other Kiddush, what's the other Kiddush? The other Kiddush is that when it comes to, Dal Vehei, the Xeris Akasa, it says, the Kapko, the Karo, La Machira, Ayyade Acher, Ach Zvicha, Ayyade Acher. Right, at the end of the day, even though, it says, Koshuk Shah, Ain Shriyat of Aradera, the special Xeris Akasa, this is where the three Xeris Akasa are. Either the Kako, Makaro, Mama Kira, or their Ishra, Kana, Ho, the Ravos, and Shaliyah, the Kizikatana, Kaka, the Ravos, and Shaliyah. So, therefore, that's what's going on here. And we have a Twitch of Zerazan Kosovo that is teaching us that a Shaliyah, seemingly, a Shaliyah, who does tzvicha for a ganav will be the shy of the ganav. So seemingly yesh shliach of barber when it comes to dollars of hay, the tzvicha of dollars of hay. And then the Gemara says, good question. That's how you do a question. We're going to ask that question. Excellent question. Okay? He's a hawk. Anyway, but for now, let's go stop Xeris and Plus. The next two Xeris is going to be a problem. Right? The Rabbos is here, the Rabbos is here. Okay. The other Gemara says, this doesn't make any sense. Why does it make any sense? Because, Mi'ika Mi'ika, the other Ihu, Lo Messiah, Avid Shaliach to Messiah, something doesn't work here. If the guy himself did the tzvicha on Shabbos, he would be potter. So if the Shaliach himself did it, he'd be potter. So you can't have it considered. If the Shaliach himself did it, he would be potter. So he can't be Shaliach and now he'd be Shaliach. If he himself, if he did it, he would be Shaliach. So, the Gemara answers the seemingly obvious question that you would have answered, they're not even seeing the Gemara. Hasam Lavi should be on the Chayim. Ella, I come in the Rabbi name.
That's
the principle of Chayim. I come in the Rabbi name. Okay? We're obviously going to have to explain how the Gemara was there. I see, we have a couple of let's just quickly deal with the first subject, and that is two things that we get at, which are double five. Number one is the Gemara basically says, who is the
Yeah, he says,
he says, what?
Yeah, he's the senior or so.
Think it through. The Gemara has to answer by saying the only way we can explain the Mishnah that says is if you hold like a mayor who holds low care with Shabbos. They are much easier based on your knowledge of distinction between low care with Shabbos and based on Shabbos. Even if you don't hold like a mayor, you can explain this Mishnah in a way that won't be a problem. Even if you don't hold like a mayor, you're going to come. Anyone?
Find a bit of you.
The famous Machlok is that we don't care which one. Because even though we hold, by East Base and Mishalei, kind of a Chisky, a Makya, forever.
I threw out the Makya.
Makya. When it comes to Kavi Makyas, that is a Machlok is that we don't care which one. And we pass it like Rabbi Yochanan, that when it comes to basic Mishalei, that's even the Shogun. But when it comes to Chayim Malkius, we only say, but he's eating, he's going to be popular from Momo. But Chayim Malkius Shogun is in the Chayim. So it's very interesting that Rabbi, don't really give any great answers. One says, sit here, hold tight, raise luggage. There's no control, there's no distinction between shogeg and basic when it comes to right? The Bereshit says, you can't say that. Yes, you want to say, my Nisa, Kaide Nisa is showing you. Now when it comes to Malchus, we say, Kaide Malchus showing you, it says higher. So, the Kaide Shua gives a whole terrace, a whole calculational terrace that we can't give this answer based on. It's not going to work out. The later cases in the Mishnah, by Omer Mazara, etc., by Shem Niskal, it's too complicated for the best example, and therefore they couldn't give that answer. The important thing is, just to bring this up, right here and right now, is that a review, because at least next time we come around to the city again, we'll have it in our back pocket. So what's the fundamental difference between Mason Mishalei and Malkus Mishalei in the way we actually hold? That's said many times. And when it comes to Mason Mishalei, Mason Tana, Mason Hiskia, Mason Mishalei, it's not just the halacha in the onesh, the Deir Shasso. That too. Deir Shasso is halacha in the onesh. You can't have two onesh. Correct? But, okay, when it comes to Lisa, not a lot from the ocean, again, we said the last year, it's a lot from the Misa. The Misa either wipes out the Misa, or it impedes and inhibits the Misa and Chayamama from producing its Chayamama, whatever the shot is, go back to last year, Chaza last year. That's what we say by Lisa and Mama. When it comes to Malchus, we don't have the Makia Makia. Makia Makia is only by Nisa, right? Makia Behema Yishalmena. Makia Adam Yishalmena. We have Makia Makia, by Nisa. It was only Reish Lakish who made a Russia there, so you go back to the Gemara there. In Suvis. But when it comes, you don't have the Makir Makir, and all you have is Gary Shasso. One last thing on this, just to pinpoint something that would do this cosmos. That is, the Gemara, post
Tosfos brings up the following issue, and that is, it's not so possible, because this whole halacha of loke u'mishalein in Rav Meir might not even be only Rav Meir. Here it could be really even the Chachamim. Why? Because this isn't a regular case of Tashkunim. What are we talking about?
You go to a chapter one. I had a whole board based on that, and they're like, wait, come on, go to the Rambam. I said, no, Kanaf comes up right when you do it also.
We're gonna deal with what I know it's bothering him, but he's going to the Lachanim. The Chiyuv is there, and in the middle of the Kanaf, popped is the Chiyuv. Okay?
Something like that. He didn't pull a quarter of a Rambam in the middle of something I never heard.
I think the shot is that the Mechayim is there. But the important thing is barring this Torah that Seth is saying from Rav Shachter, that happens to be Rav Hanan, the Pasha Pshat by Nas is the most you have in the Maisa in the Messiah in the field is generated by Bezer. So there you can hear a sorrow that when you have a Maisa, a Misa, and a Maisa, that are the generators of chiyuv, but only the one that generates the greater chiyuv is going to affect and can affect a chiyuv, and therefore will wipe it out. But you're dealing with apples and oranges, you're dealing with the case where the mice is going to generate the chiyuv. But this reduces the difficulty of the switch, but it's not the mice that generates it, so maybe that's not a switch. Why today we trust? You have to say is, over the Yisrael and Malchus and Mamun, you have to say is that even by today we trust, if Bezdin can't eat out two ocean, we're making a toast. It's very important. You look at it as, Bezdin can't get two ocean. What do you mean Bezdin can't get two ocean? Let's say, you get two Americans at different times. Bezdin will get two ocean. So even though it's a halacha in Bezdin, it's a halacha in Bezdin that Bezdin, right, will not meet out two onshin for the same lot, the same mice that becomes fused together. So therefore, once again, if the mice can't fuse, can't be mitzvah, can't join up as one, so then it's like doing two mice at different times. No one's going to say Bezdin, because you're Chayav Misa, 2 weeks ago, and now you go ahead and steal all of his purse, because you have Chayav Misa, you know, waiting for a purse. What's wrong? That's not that. There's no halacha of stuff like that. Okay, so that's the heritage, and now we move on to a new area, which happens to be a famous area, but I don't know if we ever did it. I don't think he ever did it. Okay? Here we go. Emanates from one life. Not that it's generated by it, but emanates. knows. Okay? Now, yeah, let's say you can't say it's hard, but once you say, once you have to say that, so then you might as well just, you know, keep it nice and sliced nice and thin. Now we move into this another very fascinating sugya. And like I said, there are two basic solutions in this question. One is that we don't say here, based on one of three there's concepts. Don't worry about that, just turn up a problem if you're fine. One of three Xeris HaKasuf teaches us that even though Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, here seemingly the rabbis are Shliach, the Shliach won't be able to be Messiah, the Mishaleach, i.e. the Ganav, when he is Taveach, to the Tricha on the Gneva. There is none.
But the whole Maisa Tzvicha is defined
by most characteristics. Now, what do you have here? You have a Maisa Tzvicha, you have a Maisa Tzvicha of a Shabbos. So, what then, how is Mara the first thing? Mara is thinking, we can't be, the Shalayach can't be Shayat on the Shmeet on the Shliach. Because at the end of the day, what Maisa is the Mishaleach getting? What Maisa is the God of getting? He's getting a Maisa Tzvicha of a Shabbos. That's what he's getting. That's the definition of it. If that's the definition of a Maisa Tzvicha, he goes again. The Havamun was that you can't separate the Maisa. You can't separate the Tzvicha of a Shabbos, the Maisa Malacha of Tzvicha B'Shabbos is a Maisa Tzvicha of Baal Zahay of the Yivon. It's all defined as one Maisa. So the bottom line is then, if we're going to go ahead and give that Maisa to who? To the Mishaleah, to the God of, what Maisa did he get? He got the Maisa that the Mishaleah was doing. And that was what the Shliach was doing, which was the Maisa Tzvicha B'Shabbos. The Shliach was doing that, the Mishaleah was doing that as well. And what was he doing? He was doing a Maisa Tzvicha of a Shabbos, which is Pukkah. Okay? So it's a Mashmah, what are you talking about? The Mitzura. So the Mitzura, that's not the definition of this Maisa. So that definition of Maisa, then they can go by the principle. This Maisa stays with who? The Maisa of the Lach of a Shabbos stays with the Shliach, because the Shliach of Baal Leira. And the Maisa of Tzvicha and Dalai, that will go to the Mishaleach. Okay. But now we come to.
Can I ask a simple question?
Yeah.
Maybe it's in tomorrow, so it is actually bad. But is it so much that Tzvicha or the Chira is considered
not there? I'm going to explain. Good question. I'm going to talk about something else. What do we even mean? What do we even mean here? I'm gonna get to your question.
Because it makes it sound like more of an add-on. If you did Ezra, this complicates your issue.
I'm gonna come to your question with another.
Well, the big novel, but who was during the weekend you did this? You did that someone, you asked someone else to be told they have them.
Slow.
I'm glad to hear
this. Let's go back. So slow down. So now we come back to the first dish. The first kiddush here is, not for Zeres HaKasu, what would we say? We would say, Ein Shliach Levar Avera, that when the God that gives over the animal to Job, the shepherd for him. He's off the hook. Why? Did they arrive? Did they tell him? Did they be shaman? Ain't she asked the bar of the era? Come on, no, he has
send someone to be Mizanet, right? For you.
Just like the mitzvah of a group, where there's a family.
Exactly.
Well,
so, we'll only be talking about an Aveira. What really is the difference between an Aveira and a mitzvah of a group versus the mitzvah of a group? Shluchos applies to me as a mice with a shalos. is a maisa, right, that creates an effect. And some type of legal or halachic effect that, right, exactly, we'll not exist. Even if it's not a chalos kinyan, okay, we're talking about like a truma. Like truma, right? So you have shlichus by truma because it's a mitzvah. Because what you're doing is you're having someone else go ahead and do it myself. So you, and it creates the effect of, right? The effect. That's what's happening. That's what shlichus is. They do an act for you. Either then it becomes your act with your chalos, or you get the effect. You get the chalos. You do the mice. Now comes Shabbat. Let's talk about this right now. Let's talk about what's the Avera. This is okay. What is the Avera? What do you mean by Avera? Not only is it a vera, but more importantly, the chesed, as I understand it, is that this is a vera basically means that this is illegal activity. Okay, we'll talk about pain, shiach, and vera. What we're basically saying is that which has worked, so we're doing a legal activity. But if it's illegal activity, once we're talking about in terms of activities that can do okay, but especially if you're dealing in the realm of Dinei Mamonis, we're talking about an illegal activity that flows from, in fact, is an Avera. Now, you guys should know what Avera are we talking about here. On top of the Shasya, right? You already saw that. No, if I think of Avera, what you're doing is, are furthering the Neva as example. We had that a couple of times. We had to get away from those shiurim. Okay. But right, Aishasa Dikadasala. That is proof of the case of Tvita. Okay, it's proof of the case of Tvita. And the Gemara also said by Dal Behei, Ahanu Maisa, Shana Behei. Mishtarish
Bechei. Yeah, but that's the only benefit. But that could possibly only if you did the Geneva. The other guy didn't do the Geneva. I can't further your faith. If it's divorced from that faith, then it's hard to say.
What do you mean? It's a perfect example. I'm getting it to do something.
But you're not doing something wrong. You don't have a concept of the very Mishomen. You didn't do a Geneva.
That's true. If you take something wrong, that's a
Geneva. You're also doing a Geneva. No, I said that's a budget. It could only be a Geneva. It could only be further than the Avera if that was something that you...
Okay, obviously you see that that's the case. And it's for sure, and the truth of the matter is that what I'm saying is that I'm not sure, even if you don't talk about it in terms of a low system, but I think what you see from here, assuming your premise, is that I agree with you. I don't think you're over a particular low sasa. But HDF of Garveva also works to tell us this is an illegal activity. An activity you're not allowed to do, whether it's in the Isser sphere or whether it's in the
Manners.
Whether there are what's called illegal activities. And this is So now, let's take the premise this is an illegal activity. In order to understand what's happening in Tzvicha, there is, you say, Yesh, the Yesh Shliach, the Baravera, that is the Shach, that is the Shach. understand what is ancient. I haven't seen Tosfos and the Ritva. Tosfos and the Ritva, Tosfos is later on the Ayin Tes, and the Ritva is the Mishnah. Because our Gemara comes down something very, very interesting. What the God do? What did the God do? He gave it to comes to us, and no one says, the Gemara could have answered, Ein Achinami, even without this answer of, Yesh Liyat, B'dvar Avera, by Tzvichu Mechira. You say, Yesh Liyat, B'dvar Avera here anyway, you know why?
Shogun.
Because of Shogun. Tosa the Shita is, Tosa is a Chayim Tess, and he says,
same reason. You can't say Divrei Rav and Divrei Talmud and Divrei Mishomim and Mishogim.
What? I'm a Mashani Shafir by MS. However, the Ritva, I don't want to see. It says, no, you gotta go through the whole Sugya. Go through the whole Sugya, introduction. You have to introduce it?
What do you mean?
That's it.
Kim, Gin, Ram, Nun Tess.
The Ritva says, says, no, even by Shogun, we still say, the question is, what's the Shogun? This would feel it's really good to answer. It's going to help us answer the next step. What is the bottom line? At the end of the day, when we do have this garrison puzzle at the end, so obviously, Tulsa is still going with the Dibre Arab, Dibre Talmud concept. What is that? What is the Dibreya, pure Dibreya Rab, Dibreya Talmud concept? What is it? Other spirit? So what is that little thing? But, Nisha says, Dibreya Rab, Dibreya Talmud might be all nice philosophy, and it might even be rejected, who might even know it's worth. And it might be the philosophy of it. But at the end of the day, you know what Yeshi Avadaravera is? It's exactly what I said to you before. It's a halacha that legal activities can transfer, illegal activities do not transfer, period. So whether the guy was a show gag, whether it was amazing, it's irrelevant. Was the activity legal or illegal? It was illegal, so it's not going to transfer. It's a Xeris on custom that Shlichus itself, we talked about so many times. So it's not a concept that people would have known about, right, without Xeris on custom itself. The whole principle of Shlichus is Xeris on custom. I do something for you, like it works, you know, like, we'll do something for you. The fact that someone can go ahead and be a kaddishal woman, you know, for someone else, that's a chizat Torah. So that chizat Torah of the either the mice are transferring or the chaloy is transferring, that only works with legal activities. That's the result. Question is, what was Tajri? What kind of mushy, what was the concept? what's the concept? Think about it. Like, well, what's the concept of Tosfos? So it seems that if you go with the Dibrei Rav, Dibrei Hashalom, it's not just the philosophy behind it,
you're walking there like this, that this, that your shlichus is preempted by your, basically you have a prior shlichus. The Kodesh Baruch Hu told you not to do it. He tells you to do it. Your shlichus can't be chal. It's like almost like.
No, but then, if that's a pshat, that would go with the Ritva also. That'll be another nice pshat with the Ritva. Why, who cares if you show me? Yeah, you're just telling another nice. You're giving another nice svar for the Ritva.
Oh, I'm trying to figure out that.
You're just giving another svar for the Ritva, but once you say what I'm saying, why would you want to give like such a, you know, unless you're something forcing you to say Abshad, let's say it's such a shot, an illegal activity, because in transit. Alright? But the shita of Tosaf seems to be an ancient halachic mechanism of shlichus being stifled by the illegal activity. It's a halacha in the minui shlichus, in the shlichus appointment, that the nature of it's like the nature of the minui shlichus is lacking if you're telling someone to go ahead and do something. Can I get a Torah? It's like, come on. In other words, there's a chisaron in the shlichus. Divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Rishon. I saw some achronim using like it's almost like, you know, he's joking. It's not a serious thing. Like, you know, you can't do it. You shouldn't be taking you seriously. I don't know how to eat that halakhically. So the way I explain it is that the nature of such a minui is not a minui that could be taken seriously as a serious minui. That you understand is only if what? Only if the command is go connect the tire. If the command is to do an activity, I think it's doing an actual activity, so why shouldn't that be a shiddur? Why shouldn't that be a good shiddur? It's only a non-serious minui.
You don't really mean minui, you really mean acceptance of the shiddur.
That's what
minui is. Well, because minui really is, I mean, I'm appointing you a shiddur.
It's the whole, the appointment has two parts to it.
I said, but like, here we're really focusing on the Kabbalah. So.
No, but again, it's coming from his meaning. His meaning that this guy is not going to accept. In other words, it's the meaning speechless that is lacking. So this guy will not run. He's not going to accept such a meaning. That's not a serious meaning. You have to define it in terms of the meaning. If the meaning is lacking because you're telling him to do something that can't be done. Shouldn't be done. There's a chisaron in that, and therefore, like once you type up, there's a chisaron in the minui, we'll say, but only when there is knowledge and it is known by the shliach that he is doing something wrong.
By the mishalah? By the. By the shliach, right? That's right. If you keep pointing to the shliach, I don't know why you keep focusing on minui. The shliach doesn't do minui. It's much cleaner to say this Kabbalah shliach is not serious.
I'm distinguishing between there's two processes in shlichus. There's minui shlichus, which is part of the ministry is the guy accepting it, and then there is the mechanism of the transfer.
I understand. Oh, the meaning of it is from the Mishalei.
Now, we now move over to what is this? Zeres HaKosim. And I have you see two Rambams. We're not going to have time to give you two famous theories. Of the Mishnah Mamela. Anyone get to the text?
He works at home, for God's sakes.
10. They only go on like 4 or 5 vacations.
It's going to be the number one time of the decade. You're talking about him. There's a big skira in Rambam. So Rambam says there's another place where we say, anyone know? You should know this. You're a countryman. There's another place where we say Yeshliach Dvar Avera. Anyone know where? Don't say no.
Meila. That's the Meila. But Meila doesn't apply to me. It's a real complicated thing.
Don't worry about that. So Meila, okay, is another example where we say Yesh Shia Le Bar Avera. Calculations. Okay. Comes the Rambam, and he says that's only if the avera that he's doing is only the meila. But let's say when he's doing the meila, he's also over another avera while he's doing the Mi'ila. Let's say, for example, the Mi'ila is also over the lav of, something, some other halacha, issue with the zar, halacha of zar, the kachim, some other lav that he's over. Comes the Rambam there, and he says, there you would not say. Because this Mi'ila is also a different Avera. And that other Avera that this Mi'ila is does not transfer. Therefore, it can't transfer.
He had to do that Avera?
No. He's still doing it.
In this particular one, no.
But in general, you could have a meila without. You could have a meila. But in this particular case, a meila, okay? The problem then is, so then, what are you going to do with our case? I'm possibly like our case. And our case is gufa. That is the case. You're doing a tzvicha on Shabbos, which is an Avera. So then how could the tzvicha of Dal Zahay transfer? Like, what's the difference? These are two examples. This is what the Mishnah Mela brings out, the Maharit, quoted in the Ketzos. They all bother with the steer in the Rambam. If you're telling me that you only say Yeshliach Advar Avera when that Avera of Mi'ila is in and of itself, by itself, but if it is also a different Avera, therefore it's not going to be able to transfer. So what's the feeling between that and Tzvicha? Okay, so we
don't need Tzvicha, that's a clear.
What?
They're discussing that you don't need Tzvicha.
I wish that by which. That's after Mari. That's enough.
Maybe somewhere in the back of my head.
Oh, yeah.
should have done that.
Thank you.